everyone. This is Jody Sweeten from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
My guest tonight is a music producer and DJ from South Africa who has a new single out with Usher called La La La. Please welcome Black Coffee. DJ Black Coffee.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is, you know what, it's truly, truly, truly one of my pleasures to have you on the show because you have taken the world by storm. I remember when you first blew up in South Africa, you know, everyone was just Black Coffee, Black Coffee. There's this guy, this black guy, Black guy, Black Coffee, Black Coffee, Black Coffee, Black Coffee. And I was like, who is he? What is it? Coffee? Is it a drink? Is there a new drink that's out? What is going on? And he was like, no, there's a DJ and he's huge. And then you went from South Africa and you went into the world and you've taken it by storm. Why do you think you have blown up as much as you have all over the world?
Doesn't it sound like your story?
My story?
Yeah.
No. No, no, no. You think so?
No, 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 no. man, it's resilience, you know. It's knowing hunger and knowing that you have experienced it and you don't want to go back there.
Wow.
It's working from nothing, knowing that you have nothing to lose. So whatever you gain is something. That is what has kept me going. That is what has gotten me to where I am today.
What I also loved about your journey, and I've always enjoyed, is that, like, in South Africa and in Africa and many countries around the world, there was always an instinct for people to aspire to create like an American or to create like a European. Yep. What set Black Coffee apart for me was you made the music of Africa, the music of South Africa, and the world fell in love with that. Was that like a specific choice you made where you're like, I'm not going to make European dance music. I'm just going to make my music and it's going to be big in the world.
Definitely. And it hasn't been easy, you know, because sometimes there's hype that comes with the name and then you get a big room.
Right.
Because the name is so big and then, but the music is so maybe too soulful for the room.
Oh, you know, right.
So we've been through different phases trying to build that sound, and it took patience.
Yeah.
You know, it took a lot of time. It took a good team behind me, and it took love for what I do, man, to really push.
It really is soulful. I remember at Coachella, I was so excited when I saw your name on the list of artists who are going to be performing. And, you know, a lot of people think, like, when it was dance, I remember my friends, I was like, guys, let's go to Black Coffee. And they were like, what is, no, I want coffee with milk. I was like, no, this again, no. Because everyone thinks that as soon as you say, do you like black coffee? People are like, ah, a bit of sugar, a bit of, no, DJ Black Coffee. And so we went to the tent that you were playing in.
Yeah.
And my friend said to me, he's like, man, I'm not a big fan of, like, EDM. I'm not a fan of dance. I was like, no, it's different. You're dancing to it, but it's not. Because people always think of, like, that's what people think of.
Yeah.
Whereas your music has, and I'll never forget, the whole tent was just like, I mean, you had like 1,000 people just like bouncing together. It was, you know what I mean? It was Africa in the middle of California, black, white, everyone dancing to your music.
That's what I love.
Yeah, no, it was really beautiful. It was really beautiful. You've done something really special for me, though, or in my opinion, and that is you've taken the success of your music and you've used it to inspire a new generation in South Africa. You started a project where you are building a school.
Yeah.
But I think more impressive, you're building a neighborhood.
Yeah.
What is that about and why?
We're trying to, and I'm going to say we, because I'm working with other people. It's myself, it's Nelson Magamo, who was here before.
Right, the artist, yeah.
Yeah, it's Laduma Ngobolo, who was coming.
Right, the designer, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's coming, right?
What, are you warning me?
I'm telling you. he's coming to this show. we're trying to change the narrative about the continent where maybe it is our fault where we always seen Africa as an inferior place. All the best things were on TV, which means that we're here in America,
right,
or in Europe. And it took away so much from the continent. And we're trying to reverse that and create a space in Africa that will inspire Africans to want to stay and create a future.
Right. It's powerful. It really is powerful. Because you have this initiative, and it's called Africa is Not a Jungle.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is you say it's about Africans creating for Africans and not always looking to Europe to create for them.
Yes, sir.
Which is a powerful statement to make. When you look at your journey as Black Coffee, I mean, you went out into a very competitive world. DJing is not like an easy thing to just break into, especially when you have a different sound.
What happened to you DJing?
What, me DJing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to DJ.
No, no.
I actually used to create music as well. And then I sent you a few samples and nothing has... I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, not me. But I sent a few. No one has ever gotten back to me about
is
my...
Is this water?
There's nothing in here, but we can act like we're drinking. Just to get rid of the awkward situation. What do you hope to achieve with the music around the world? You know, because I've always been intrigued by the message that you have when you're playing your music. We see you collaborating with people like Drake. We see you, you know, people like Usher. We see artists who you wouldn't even associate with this genre saying, no, I love Black Coffee because of his message and how it pertains to music as an art form. What are you trying to accomplish all over the world with your music?
Africa has a voice. And over the years, I feel like that voice has diminished because of how the world has painted the continent. You know, one of the things that used to happen with me when I would get bookings back in the day, they would want to put like bongos and African mask on the flyer.
Wow.
You know, because I'm from Africa.
Right.
So,
we all wear masks and have bongos.
You know, so... It's something that we really fought for from the beginning to say, look, we want to play on the global stage.
Right.
You know, which is what you're doing.
Right, right, right.
You know, I would like for the world to see that voice. I would like for the world to know that we are capable to be on the world stage. This is why I continue to try and collaborate with the greatest artists, being from Africa, though, and still keeping the sound that I believe in.
Right.
Because we have that voice, you know? So I'm trying to create different platforms that will showcase that, not just conversation, but with action.
You're doing it every single day, my friend. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
There are choices that can change your life.
Like the choice to start routine colorectal cancer screening at age 45.
It's one of the most common cancers for women and men, and it doesn't always have symptoms.
But there's good news. Routine screening can catch colorectal cancer early and even prevent it.
And there's even better news. You have screening options.
Make the choice to put your health first. Talk to your doctor about your screening options or visit cdc.gov/screenforlife for more information.
Is a recording artist and songwriter from Nigeria whose new album is called African Giant. Please welcome Burna Boy. What do you think it is about Nigerian music and African music in particular that's blowing up all over the world right now?
Man, it's just the truth always just circles back, you know? It's like things always circle back to where they started from. You know, music as a whole started from Africa, you know? So it's always gonna circle back home, you know?
You think it's just gonna come back around the vibe,
yeah,
the rhythm?
It's like it might leave again, but it's always gonna circle back home because it's like when everything else fails, everybody runs back home.
Everyone started sampling the sound as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Drake who sampled the sound. You know, you've
Drake.
Got you've got so many huge artists who sampled the sound, and now because of that, like when you hear songs in the club, you hear like Nigerian music, you hear African music. I've been fascinated by how it's not even like called; it's just music, which it is.
Yeah.
You have a specific title for it though. You call it Afro fusion.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does Afro fusion mean?
So
for
basically,
your music?
It's like a pizza. Right? Hold on. I'm serious. So it's like a pizza, right?
Okay.
And then imagine a pizza. It's like, what's the main thing in the pizza that every pizza needs? It's the flour.
Right. Okay, the dough. Okay, okay. Yeah, the dough, the base. All right,
yeah,
cool.
Okay,
cool,
so
yes.
Yeah. So Afrobeat is the base.
Okay.
Right? And then now you can have any pizza you want, but you have the Afrobeat base. You know,
so
there's the hip hop pepperoni.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I'm like hip hop pepperoni.
Hall,
that's actually a good flavor.
Yeah. There's the dance hall
right.
Ham. There's the you know all types of you know. So I just kind of make a nice pizza every.
Oh, I like that. So Burna Boy just throws in like an Afro pizza.
Yeah.
You need to trademark that hip hop pepperoni. You can make a lot of money from. Let me get one hip hop pepperoni over there. Yeah, and then like what it should be is like a pepperoni that's really hot, and then like when people eat it, then they start rapping. It's like, oh my God, I just had to make a lot of money. You are one of the artists who is featured on the Lion King soundtrack with Beyonce. You are also one of the few African artists who got to perform at Coachella, and that's interesting because that's what inspired the name of this album, African Giant.
Yeah.
Tell me how that came about.
Okay, so basically, I'm on the toilet seat.
I love how every single one of your stories starts with where you are. I love this.
It's like, you have to be specific.
Yeah,
man.
I was on a boat. I was on a toilet seat. I was yes.
I always remember, you know. So basically, I'm on the toilet seat, and then my mom calls me. And then she's like, you're doing Coachella and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's nice. So I get off and then I, you know, go on the gram.
Right.
And then I see the thing and then it's like my name. I've seen all the names and I'm looking for my name and I can't find my name.
Right.
I literally can't find my name. Right. So I'm like, am I really performing here?
Is my mom playing a prank
on
me?
Yeah, you know, what's going on? And then she's like, no, it's there. And then they had to circle it for me.
Oh, because like the names get smaller in the poster.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be like Beyonce, Eminem, and then Eminem. Yeah. So then it was Burna Boy.
Exactly.
So then what happened?
So basically, that's never happened to me before. You know, I'm used to being the African giant, you know?
Right.
So
because you're huge. This is like something I think people don't understand is how big Burna Boy is. It's just like, you know, like depending on where you watch news from, before depending on where you get your perspective, you go like, oh, I don't know. But you are huge, you know what I mean? You're huge in a country with one of the largest populations, on a continent with one of the largest populations, you know what I mean? All around the world. And then they put like this.
You know?
So, right.
So I'm not used to that. So I'm like, okay. What's this? I don't like this. No. So basically, I told them, I expressed myself basically, and not just for that, for the fact that everyone else that's coming after me,
right,
it's like shouldn't have to go through that. They should. It's like it should be the same way. Like let's say the Latin artists and all the other international people that was there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They have started bringing like Jay Belvin will have a bigger font.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking, I mean, it's only right. You know.
Right.
So, yeah.
That one of the biggest artists in Africa would get one of the biggest fonts on the page.
Yeah.
I like that. I feel like, yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I feel like that was the Nigerian in you kicking in. No, because Nigerians do not like, Nigerians and humility don't mix. Like, Nigerians are like, we kick ass. You're the coolest Africans on the continent. And I can just see a Nigerian looking like, is this my name, huh? Did you run out of ink?
That's awkward.
Did you run out of ink when you wrote my name, huh?
One thing I've truly loved is how, like, Nigerian artists have taken Africa to the world. Man, you've blown up the continent. Everyone is now trying to emulate what Nigerian artists are creating. But surely
except
there are...
Except our government. Except...
Are there artists that you dreamed of working with that you were shocked to be working with when you were working with them?
Everyone on my last album was
Ghana,
and the previous, like working with Angelique Kidjo on the previous one, and then working with Youssou N'Dour. Like these are people that I watched on TV when I was in Pampers, you know? You know, like, so it's like seeing them in real life and actually making music with them and, you know, getting the love and,
right,
and all that. It's sometimes it gets kind of weird because I'm like, rah. Oh. It's like my mom loves you.
Your mom, a lot of people may not know this, but your mom is your manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mama Burna crushes it, by the way. I love her. Love her to bits. But here's what I've always wondered, and it seems different. You know, in America, there's a culture of, they call them the momagers, you know? And it's like this idea, it's like if your parent is your manager, things always go wrong. On your side, it feels like it's gone the exact opposite way.
If your parent's an American manager.
Surely, was there not a part of you that was worried about having your mom be your manager?
I mean, no, it's like, it's obviously, it's not all peaches and roses.
Yeah.
You get me, but it's a lot of food. So, I mean, that makes me happy enough.
You're the artist. Your mom is the manager. Technically, that's a power balance that has shifted over. But now she's your mom and she's an African mom, which means the power balance never shifts over. So,
yeah, exactly.
So are there moments where your mom goes like, no, this is how we're doing it and that's how we do it?
Well, I mean, you know what she does now? Like she used to do that and then that wouldn't work out for her because, you know, it's like, you get me?
I like how you just get stoic. I'm not moving.
Yes, exactly. So she figured out some other way. She would make me feel like it's my decision.
Mama Burna. You got your family with you. You tour with them. You're traveling around the world. Yo, can I just say congratulations as well on everything? I mean, selling out the O2 Arena in London, selling out, you know, the Forum in Hollywood. Now, the first Nigerian artist to ever sell out Madison Square Garden. And to play it as well.
Well, you know one thing I always wondered, like, why, how come when it's me, they always point out the fact that I'm the first to do it, like the first that landed on the moon. It's like, why when rock bands perform in Tokyo and stuff, they don't say the first American rock band to perform in Tokyo?
I think because they're surprised. There is an element of surprise, you know?
But why?
Because we've come a long way. Do you know how far Madison Square Garden is from Africa?
Yeah, but like, do you know how far away Tokyo is for the KISS
yeah,
and...
But you see, that's the thing, if you think about it. Culture has, for such a long time, been defined by America. And so it makes sense, in a way, for people to go like, of course the music's gonna go there. Of course the comedians are gonna go there. Of course, do you know what I mean? But now, think about it. Things are, like,
Move on.
but think about it, right? Yeah. For the world to change the way it has, I mean, you see Beyonce incorporating your music into her vibe. Do you get what I'm saying? These are big things that have never happened. And it's beautiful. Like, everyone's embracing it.
I mean, if I was her, I would incorporate my music into her vibe.
There are choices that can change your life.
Like the choice to start routine colorectal cancer screening at age 45.
It's one of the most common cancers for women and men. And it doesn't always have symptoms.
But there's good news. Routine screening can catch colorectal cancer early and even prevent it.
And there's even better news. You have screening options.
Make the choice to put your health first. Talk to your doctor about your screening options or visit cdc.gov/screenforlife for more information.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
My guest tonight is Nigerian-American artist and producer, Davido. No matter who you are in Africa, you have to admit, Nigerians are the most confident Africans on the planet. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I think it's almost fitting that Niger boys were the ones who were like, no, our music will take over the world. The world won't take over our music. What do you think it is about Nigeria that made that possible?
I want to first of all give a shout out to all the Nigerians in the diaspora. When I say that, I mean like the Africans that live that not in Nigeria, the
right.
ones that in America, the ones that in Europe, the ones that in London.
I bumped into Nigerians in Russia.
Anybody in the world, I knocked this table, I'm probably the person that knocked this table. Everybody in the world has a Nigerian friend.
Definitely.
Whichever way it is. So I think like, even like in Atlanta, like with my music, personally, it kind of started from like Atlanta, New York. It started from like Nigerians even being in the club. And telling the DJs like, "Yo, I want to spend $50,000 today, but play Davido's music when my bottles are coming out."
Wow!
Like, I'm, that's an example.
Wow! Yeah, but I'm saying it was a love. Like, it was a deep love for the music.
Yeah, just from that, and then it got to, "Yo, we in a club." A female goes to the DJ, "Yo, play this song." So from people in the diaspora. Doing that for us.
Right.
And then us, I remember I came out here for tour 2013. Sold out every venue.
That's insane.
Sold out every venue. This is without exposure.
Right.
So I remember Live Nation calling the company calling my manager like, yo, what's going on?
Who is this guy?
We don't even know this guy. He's come to America. He's done 20 shows, sold out. But we have to give shout out to the people that support us.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
And with Nigerians, I don't know what it is, but they don't play with us.
You know, what I appreciate is how interconnected it has all become. One of the most, you know, glaring examples of this was during the George Floyd movement in America.
Yeah,
it swept the globe. You know, you started seeing people protesting in Paris. Mm-hmm. You started seeing people protesting in London. Mm-hmm. And then one of the biggest protests happened in Nigeria. It was the End SARS movement. And I mean, this was huge. You know, people were going, you know, Nigerians coming out saying, hey, we demand more from our government. We demand more from our police. And your song...
Crazy.
Went from, you know, it was a song that you had written about your haters, but it became the anthem of the movement. I feel like it also changed something in you as a person and as an artist because you became really outspoken.
Yeah, I did not record that song thinking
right.
that was going to happen. That's the honest truth. But it's amazing how I saw my voice be an instrument
right.
for people. Like, it was amazing. I got in a lot of trouble.
I can only imagine.
I got in a lot of trouble. I had to actually leave the country. Like,
wow.
It was that bad. I got in a lot of trouble because I was posted in like.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It was amazing to see people come out like that. And I would say this. They listened. They heard us. They might not have changed nothing, but they were shook.
That is amazing.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, I hope, you know, I see a lot of young future leaders coming up in the next general elections coming up and, you know, whichever we have to do, but things are going to change.
My dude, with people like you leading the charge, with artists and musicians getting in the conversation, with, as you say, the diaspora communicating with each other, anything is possible, my man. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Of course.
Thank you for coming out. Congratulations on your Global Citizens appearance. I mean, it was amazing to see you doing that. I know you're going to be on the road in the U.S. I'm going to try to come to your shows.
No, I'm coming to your
show. I'm coming to your tour. That's what I'm doing.
All right, listen, we're going to
I'm going to do it, my dude. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you, my dude.
And thank you for what you're doing for Africa.
My dude.
And we're going to keep doing it.
We'll do it, my friend.
God bless.
Let's talk about the tour, man. Like you said, you told me about the title, and you know, you've really been an artist who has gone from just making hit songs that are fun to hit songs that are fun and also have a meaning behind them.
Yes.
Your new single, Stand Strong,
yes.
has inspired people. It becomes an anthem. You know, this happened obviously in Nigeria as well with NSARS.
Yeah.
Why Stand Strong, and then why the new tour name? Because I like this idea that you have in and around music.
Okay, let me start with Stand Strong. You know, obviously, like, people know me. My music makes people smile and move, you know what I'm saying? But this time, I was really inspired. Like, a couple years ago, Kanye West and the Sunday Service Choir, they actually did a remix to my song.
Wow.
If, you know, and If, I'm saying, I love you, I love you. There's nothing, but they switched it to Jesus. I love you. You see Kanye there like,
I didn't know that was a remix of
the
song.
Yes, that was like the remix. So since then, I've always wanted an opportunity to, you know, be able to perform with them. And then Kanye West was doing his listening party in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yes.
Where he had all that. And then I met Jason, met the choir. We flew out to LA. I was like, yo, how can we connect this African music with this beautiful thing you guys are doing? And also, I wanted to challenge myself, you know, to make different kind of music.
I love that, man.
We came together and it's all bliss.
It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. The tour has a great message. You're going to be in Brooklyn. You're going to be in Boston. You got all the tour dates online.
Yes.
Congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
So, seeing you again.
Yes, sir.
This is great.
With the tour, I want to say this.
Okay, with the tour,
yeah. Yeah, so with the tour, We Rise by Lifting Others. It's basically me not only bringing myself to the America, also bringing everything else, African food, African fashion. This was done by an African designer.
On the tour, you're only wearing African designers,
yes,
right?
And my cast beats. I'm only wearing African designers. I'm only eating African food. I'm having African chefs come in, do food backstage.
Wow.
African dancers. So
wow.
It's not just only me. So we're coming together, we rise, and we're taking everybody
wow.
with us.
Man, that is a beautiful message.
Thank you.
And yet you brought me no jollof to the show. We'll talk about it next time. Good seeing you. Congratulations.
Explore more shows from The Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
There are choices that can change your life.
Like the choice to start routine colorectal cancer screening at age 45.
It's one of the most common cancers for women and men, and it doesn't always have symptoms.
But there's good news. Routine screening can catch colorectal cancer early and even prevent it.
And there's even better news. You have screening options.
Make the choice to put your health first. Talk to your doctor about your screening options or visit cdc.gov/screenforlife for more information.